Welcome back. It is Farm Talk. I'm Mick Kerr. Here we are every day in the North Dakota Corn Council studio. And right now we're going to head over to the Minnesota side. We talked about the wild weather up in northeast North Dakota. We had some wild weather in eastern South Dakota over the weekend. And Minnesota did too. And U of M Extension agronomist Dave Nicolai. How are you doing, Dave?
Very good, sir. Very good.
You got a little bit of rain there in your neighborhood south of the Twin Cities. Any bad weather?
Not really too bad in our area. Western Minnesota and the Granite Falls area had quite a bit more wind. I heard reports of up to 70-mile-an-hour gusts laying some of that corn flat in that particular area. And then a day or two later down in the Waseca County area, they had some rain and some hail situations with that. And then, of course, last night we had some major hail in the southern metro area, but fortunately that did not fall on corn and soybeans. So a lot of variability, but things still on the whole are looking pretty good.
Yes. Yesterday morning woke up to a bad video around Granite Falls, Minnesota on the Weather Channel. And so whenever you your video ends up on the Weather Channel, usually that means you had a bad day. So,
well, they certainly did. I think some of the soybeans recovered, but some of that corn indications are some of the rows that ran east and west actually suffered a little bit more. So it depends upon a lot of situations, but it's going to make harvest very difficult in some of those affected fields.
Ouch. Bummer. Yeah, green snap or just pushing it over. No, thank you, Mother Nature. Now, what have you heard from northwest Minnesota regarding crop development or disease or insect issues?
Well, in terms of crop development, of course, things were behind in terms of starting when they had such a wet fall last year, and that carried over to this year. But I think a lot of that crop has really caught up for the most part. I know some of the small grain and the yields I heard from Dr. Joachim Wiersma was actually very good, 60, 70 bushel per acre spring wheat. And so I think the corn and soybeans are developing. And, of course, you know, we always want that entire fall season without an early frost to make the crop work in the Red River Valley.
For sure. And this year, I said this, I think, two times already this hour. Let's hope that the pendulum swings. Mother Nature is going to work in our favor this year for the first time in about 3 years.
Well, I think you're right. I think a lot of the crop and a lot of Minnesota in the last crop report that came out a week ago had over 70% in the excellent category, so you want to keep that going.
Yeah. All right. Well, spider mites or soybean aphids, are you getting any reports of those in southern Minnesota?
Yes, we are. In fact, we have a number of different fields that were already treated for spider mites in east central and in south central Minnesota where we had situations. And sometimes it didn't occur just in fields that were stressed for dryness, but even in fields that had adequate moisture. And so there were some heavier populations. There's been some soybean aphids. I wouldn't go so far as to say that it's been a major soybean aphid infestation like we maybe had other years, but there were a couple of fields, a number of them that were economic threshold. But it really pays to scout your fields and situations, and certainly given this economics. But yeah, from what I've been hearing from crop consultants and others, it's not consistent across the landscape. So every field has to be treated individually.
Yeah, well, that's good news because one less thing, one less expense this year is a good thing. And this is probably not asking you, I'm not asking the appropriate person, but if you're not going to use your soybean aphid insecticide, can you use that for spider mites? I don't know.
Well, there are some differences and there are some concerns, particularly on spider mites with the use of some of the pyrethroids, and that actually flares up or causes a problem with spider mites. So you might make other choices or combinations, but using strictly a pyrethroid, if that's your choice on soybean aphids, I wouldn't spill over and use it on spider mites because that's the wrong thing and oftentimes can make the issue worse. So really talk to your agronomist or your crop input supplier if you're trying to do both. But I guess the first things first is determine whether or not you really need both or have both of a situation on that, because you want to spend your dollars wisely, as you indicated.
Growing up, I don't remember spider mites being a problem. Is this a 21st century issue, or have they always been here?
Actually, they've been here for a long period of time. In most years, they don't seem to be a problem with adequate moisture. And you can typically find them, if you look hard enough, in just about every year. I would say it's probably been a little bit more predominant, you know, as our weather and climate's shifting a little bit more, and we have those dry situations. Tends to bring them on a little bit earlier and with stress. Typical moisture patterns, if we have an adequate moisture, no, they haven't been really an issue in other years and situations with that. Typically, you'll find them in pockets, not necessarily widespread across the state, but I would look for those drier areas, maybe lighter soil texture is where you're going to first find them.
Okie doke. All right, visiting with Dave Nicolai, U of M Extension. And, as Iowa weather moves into southern Minnesota, as southern Minnesota weather moves to northern Minnesota, and as Nebraska weather moves into South Dakota, and on, I guess there are benefits but also challenges. Maybe the yields are going to increase. We got, this year is a good example. We got more growing degree days than we did last year, but we have new and, I guess, unique challenges we've got to learn about.
Well, that's certainly the case. I mean, we're very vigilant about watching for soybean gall midge in southwestern Minnesota. A co-worker of mine, Bruce Potter, has done a lot of extensive tests in terms of sampling and looking and scouting for those particular areas, but they are a bad situation typically in Nebraska, and they have come up a little bit more into southwestern Minnesota than the last couple of years. So that's an indication of something that's a relatively new pest. We've had soybean aphid for a longer period of time, but again, that's somewhat weather-related and more problematic when that can occur with that. We have some diseases, though, that do show up a little bit more often, frog-eye leaf spot and some other diseases and so forth in soybeans, and bacterial leaf streak. These are all things that I probably didn't hear about or you didn't hear about growing up as a kid, but certainly are more of a concern with the warmer soil conditions and warmer weather.
Yeah. How about Goss's wilt in corn? Is that another challenge that's spreading northward?
Well, it is, but that is really dictated quite a bit by weather. That is a bacterial disease, and it oftentimes can become a problem with some varieties of corn, say, for example, or hybrids that may have a little bit more susceptibility than other ones. And this last year or two, it hasn't seemed to have been an issue as much as we would have for other types of diseases. So we're always on the watchful eye of it. But again, maybe knock on wood, at least for this year, it's not endemic. But, of course, we're not out of the woods yet. We're not into September. But so far, so good.
Yeah. Well, in July and August, though, it's easy to spot the culprits of weeds in the soybean field. This year especially, as tall as the corn got early, probably are missing some of the escaped weeds in the cornfield. What are you hearing?
Well, definitely you don't oftentimes see them. I've seen some in southeastern Minnesota, primarily some giant ragweed. And in some of the counties down in Wabasha County, say, for example, I had a chance to travel here about a week or so ago, there was quite a bit of giant ragweed. And so that's really come on. And on the edges of the field and into fields where it hasn't been controlled adequately. Water hemp, of course, if you go as you farther travel to the west, has really been an issue and is always an issue, particularly in sugar beets and in soybeans as well. And right now it's time to really scout those field edges, because what you have on the edge of a field oftentimes can move into the field. So if you can do some good house cleaning, so to speak, on field edges throughout there, I think that'll pay you dividends in terms of preventing that from being in the weed seed bank for future years.
And if you only have like 8 or 10 escapes on the edge of a field this year, holy mackerel, walk out and pull them, because you're going to have a million of them in a few years.
Well, that's certainly the case. I know that's one of the things farther south with Palmer amaranth. Fortunately, we don't have an endemic problem here yet in Minnesota. Occasionally, we find the weed and have to control it through the Department of Agriculture, but those folks in Nebraska really do follow that rule. So, Mick, that might be an opportunity for you to do in your spare time, is to volunteer to walk some of these fields and take care of some of these issues as they come up.
Oh, well, I would do that. I would volunteer, because I know It might be hard to ask for money to do that on the farm right now. Hey, on the you've been virtual or non-face-to-face. Any change with Minnesota Extension moving forward into the fall?
Well, at least going into the fall right now, from all of the things that we're looking at, probably not doing a lot of face-to-face. Typically, we don't do a lot of face-to-face in the fall, right during the harvest season, just because of obviously our primary audience will be engaged in harvest of the crops, whether they're ag professionals, growers, et cetera. So our meeting season here is primarily more that very, very late November, but primarily December. And I think we're preparing for a couple of those events to be what we call virtual at this point in time, because it does appear, even if there are some significant changes with the control of COVID, that we will still probably be needing to follow some of the rules and so forth and regulations that involve that. So at least right now, I think we can safely say that we'll look at other means and so forth, and we'll have to see what happens after the first of the year.
If they won't let us fill the football stadiums, I guess that we can't go to the extension meeting either, for the same reason, and it's a good reason. So,
well, certainly we want to keep people safe. That's why we've tried to do our best and really working on some of this technology and to make it easy for people to access, whether it's in a small group setting or on their home computer, et cetera. But those are what we have to adapt to. And of course, there's the old-fashioned thing about reading. And so that might be the other option, too, through a lot of the traditional media as well.
Oh, yeah. Grab the weed extension weed management guide. There we go. All right. Dave Nicolai, University of Minnesota Extension. Great to visit with you. Couldn't be with you at Farm Fest last week, but we got on the radio today. Thank you.
Thank you very much. Look forward to another time.
We'll see you then.